there a demon here?
Oh boy. Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things as well. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. We hope you enjoy the show.
But yeah, so bear with me. I will mute myself as fast as possible if a coughing fit comes on, but luckily they haven't lasted too long. That lasted over an hour the other night.
Oh my God.
In the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. I hate those.
I hate those. That's the worst.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now for me, when I cough, I pee. So it's like coughing and then clenching my legs together to try to prevent the pee from coming out.
You need to do your Kegels.
I do.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today we visited the juvenile detention center in St. Paul, and on the way back, I tripped and peed.
I was like, how is this connecting?
I tripped and peed.
I was like, wow, we changed.
Yeah.
We changed went really, real quick.
Really quick.
You just gotta just give it, it circles back. Everything circles back to pee.
Okay.
Well.
If you leave this in, there's the title for the episode.
Everything circles back to pee.
It should be the title of every episode.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome, everyone, to The Activity Continues. Thank you for joining us again. Thank you for having me back, ladies, after I was gone last week.
We thought we'd let you come back.
Thanks.
We had fun, but we missed you.
Yeah, we did.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a weird day. We're recording the day after Mother's Day here, which I'll tell you, for me personally, has been a little weird with, it'll be a year for Briggs on the 14th, but that was also Mother's Day. So I feel like I have 2 days that I'm comparing of things. So mm-hmm. Lots of fun, everyone. But today we are going to be discussing the Dead Files episode Drained, which is from season 8, episode 12, and originally aired in September of 2017, September 9th. The short little synopsis from our dear friends at the Travel Channel. Steve DeShavi and Amy Allen investigate paranormal activity threatening the lives of a Ripley, West Virginia father and his family. They are convinced their house became haunted the day their neighbor's home burnt down. But Amy finds something far more dangerous and primitive lurking on their land, a powerful demon that terrorizes the family, along with a psychic vampire who threatens to suck the life force out of everyone. Megan, what are we warning people about today?
Just a few light topics. There's mention of suicide, a very brutal murder, and I also added child torture with the clients. So,
oh, okay. For the daughter?
For the little girl, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And if we forget anything, Amy will add it to the show notes. So as always, please check the show notes for any content warnings as well.
That's right. We try not to go into too much detail mm-hmm. about stuff anyway, but sometimes
you never know.
Just, yeah, sometimes it's
mm-hmm.
not good.
Just flows okay. That way.
Right. Okay. So the overview, the dramatic reading of the, I'm not going to dramatically read it.
Why? What other reading is there? Amy, was this your episode or AP, did you choose this one?
I chose this one.
You chose it. Okay.
I did. So today we're traveling to Ripley, West Virginia. The client is Scott, his wife Wendy, and their three kids. About 6 months after they moved in, their neighbor's house burned down, and they are pretty sure that that stirred up something evil. They have been experiencing loud noises, apparitions, shadow figures, nightmares, and physical attacks. Also, their teenage son's personality has changed. Amy discovers a screaming woman, a tall demon dressed like a priest, and two elderly couples. Steve uncovers the suicide of a former owner, which took place in the house. He attempts to debunk the loud noises by having a plumber come out and check pipes. And he also learns about a brutal, actually quite brutal, triple homicide that happened near the property. Amy has a sketch done that is very disturbing.
Oh, it was very disturbing.
Very, but also really amazing artwork. At the reveal, Steve connects almost all of the things Amy saw to things that he uncovered, yet still tells her that what she's given him is, quote, not much to go on.
I know. Sorry.
It's all right. Amy explains that the old man is actually a psychic vampire who feeds off the living and is draining them. Amy tells them to get a Catholic priest to get rid of the demon/priest, and have the house blessed. Then a physically intimidating male psychic needs to come in and remove who she calls the, quote, elderly dead lunatic. She confirms that the house burning down has nothing to do with the activity in the house. They say they will take her advice, but at the end, they're still searching for a priest and a medium. Okay, so where shall we begin? I will say that one of the first things that happens, this is by my notes 2 minutes in, where Amy says, what the hell? Is there a demon here? And I thought it sounded like she was like, knock, knock, knock. Is anybody home?
I said, hey, starting strong with the demon devil talk.
Yes. I know. It really was. Does anybody else have anything for like that first part?
I just wrote, got demons right away.
Well, yeah. And I mean, if you're going into that first part with Steve and stuff talking to, you all find it really interesting that it was the father that actually called them in this time. Because I thought the dynamic between Scott and Wendy, like their dynamic was fine, but the way that they approached it both seemed opposite of where we see most roles come into play.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yep. I kind of, you know, just the fact, like, have you heard the jokes about like if a farmer goes to the doctor or calls the doctor without being prompted, you know, something's really wrong.
Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling I got with this is like,
he stopped repairing the fence. Yeah.
He came in on, did his wife tell him to come in? No, he came in on his own. Oh guys, we got it. Like code red right now.
Yeah, it's real.
You know, but that was kind of the way that it came across to me is like, this guy is obviously very concerned.
Yes.
But it was just kind of, felt so opposite of what we normally see.
It did. And it did seem to me more like the wife, Wendy, was more like willing to just pretend like it's not happening
and
push it under the rug. Mm-hmm. And he wanted answers and he wanted it.
Which makes me wonder, is this a smaller town? Like, we don't want
people to know
we're odd, quote unquote.
Yeah. Well, that they're making a mayonnaise commercial?
Yes.
What?
Remember when Donnellan was on, client Donnellan, and she said,
"Oh yeah, yeah."
They had to tell all their neighbors that they were like, "What are all the cameras for?" And she said that we were told to tell everybody that's we were filming a mayonnaise commercial.
The least spicy of the condiments.
That easily could be, or you know, I noticed just throughout the whole thing, and even into the reveal, like Wendy was very tight-lipped, like literally tight-lipped. Yeah. Like her facial expression hardly changed. You saw a little bit of change in her eyes on different things, but I mean even
in the reveal
when Steve started the conversation, she was like
it was very like not volunteering information
She's a fun interview, really gotta drag anything out of her.
Well, it also doesn't help that Steve tends to ask yes or no questions, like let's try to ask more open-ended questions, Steve.
That's true.
Well, like, stop leading her. This isn't a murder investigation.
We're not
like,
interrogating anyone.
No, we're just like asking. So, you know, what experiences do you have? Oh, you must be having a really hard time. Come on, Steve.
Well, and that kind of brings up also, I was thinking when he was talking to the son, Donovan, who's having the issues, so he doesn't want to leave the house and all that. When he was like, are you doing any drugs that you're not telling anybody about? Yeah. And
come on,
like,
I know teenagers.
Yeah, and then he's like, no, don't bullshit
don't
me.
Don't fucking
serious.
Bullshit me. Yeah.
And I was like, why are you going to be so scary? He didn't commit a murder.
Yeah. I was like, calm down, Steve.
Yeah.
Like, he's 15, all right? Yeah.
And he's got cameras in his face. He's already on edge because of what's going on with him.
Well, and he's already been, like, trying to protect his sister. I mean, when She's talking about how she was crying about something and then her, you know, she was uncontrollable. And then her brother said, it's okay. And then she stopped, you know, and when Steve was talking to the dad about, well, like, well, isn't he just a teenager? Because it's like, fair point. You know, that's, I taught teenagers.
Yeah.
I saw this.
Yeah. I mean, so, he's more emotional. He doesn't, before he was happy, shoves everyone out, wants to stay in his room all day. I'm like, but he's 15.
Yeah, that's how I was.
And they've only been in the house for a year and a half. And they said it's only been happening for about a year. So then, I mean, still some of that lines up with like going puberty. From middle school to high school if you're in a typical 6, 8, 9, 12 type. So, yes.
I mean, I agree
logistically.
Everything that was going on is bad. It just doesn't seem like it was enough for me to like warrant them being called in. I feel like there have been worse cases.
Yeah, I mean, sure, there have been some really hideous ones.
I think this one was like an onion. It had layers.
Yeah.
Because from the outside, it didn't seem as bad as what was it a couple of weeks ago, the bruising that we saw.
Oh, that one was bad.
You know, and you know, there were some scratches and there were some things and like the bouncing off the walls or like hearing banging noises or, you know, Steve thought was the plumbing.
Yeah, he brought Landon out.
Fair point.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as some of it goes, but you know, Steve kind of said it, he took this one because of the kids.
Yeah.
Which he usually does. He has a soft spot for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't imagine that out of the hundreds and thousands of other applications that there weren't other kids.
That's true.
It's always interesting. But I'm glad that they got help because the center layers of this were rotten.
They're bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope they've gotten help since because, you know, like I said at the end, it's that they hadn't yet. But I thought, too, it was interesting that Amy found this or saw this demon that was dressed like a priest. What was that all about? And then he was able to, like, there had been a barrier put up, but he was able to, a psychic barrier, that is, not a fence. He was able to dig under. And get in. And then was all snotty about it and said, haha, they can't keep me out and neither can you.
Haha, they can't keep me out and neither can you. Says there's no hollow ground here.
And well, he said there was no hallowed ground to keep him out.
Ugh. Well, and, you know, you said that, like, what was that about with the Catholic priest get up or whatnot? But, you know, in a lot of ways, and especially being, you know, how long in the U.S., West Virginia is one of the areas that's been more, you know, had people there longer than other parts of the country, right? Or not people, but have had settlers there. So, you know, it's got that theory of it. To me, it felt like, oh, he's dressing up like this, or it's dressing up like this too. So if they see it, they're not as scared of it.
Right.
So they allow it to get closer and that sort
because
of thing.
You trust priests. And so if it shows itself as a demon, obviously you're going to be like, ah, demon. But if it shows itself as a priest, you'll be like, ah, good priest, or whatever you would say when you say
I don't
priest.
Know that I would say that for them either.
Ah, priest.
Yeah.
Especially when she said he's dressed like a priest, but he's got horns and a tail.
Yeah. I don't like that. Yeah.
He should have hid the horns and the tail if he was going to really try and fool anyone.
This is priest 101. You hide the horns and the tail. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times.
Was it priest or is that demon 101?
Yeah, it's demon.
It's demon 101. One thing that really stuck out to me that I felt really bad for Scott was he was talking to Steve and how he had heard a gunshot and he woke up and he thought Donovan might have shot himself.
Yes.
And I felt so bad for him because I cannot imagine the panic that man must have felt. Thinking that his child had killed himself.
And the description of the concussion being so close, think of the fireworks that explode really like loud in the sky and they make that pop and it reverberates in your chest feeling. That's the concussion he's talking about.
Oh,
and
I just
so
felt
if
so
he,
bad for
if
him.
He's feeling that, that's how close he's feeling to something like that.
See, when he said concussion, I was thinking head and I was thinking gunshot to the head. And so I was thinking, is he a physical medium, Scott? because he was feeling a pain of somebody else.
Concussion is a pretty common term for
I didn't think either of those. Reverberating. I thought it meant like a kickback from a gun.
No, that's just a kickback. Yeah. The concussion is the sound that is
kind of the woo.
Yep.
Or that I goes just, out. I so seriously
it's
felt
the sound waves.
I wanted to hug him because I'm sure for that, you know, those 30 seconds where he thought his son had killed himself were took years off that poor man's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, well, we did have a neighbor that died. The neighbor said that the person who lived in this house died by suicide in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay.
So I'm sure that was in his mind too. Like, this house has already claimed somebody to suicide. I did notice that there are a lot of threes in this episode. Like Scott said, he hears three knocks. He heard three knocks, and then he saw an apparition of an old man. Lacey had three scratches on her chest. So I thought it was very interesting, especially with Demon.
Right.
They're, you know, known for their threes.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, because they're making fun of the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that I didn't catch the three knocks, but I did think of that with the little girl with the scratches on her.
It was when they were outside talking, and it was right after he thought Donovan might have killed himself. He said, I heard three knocks and then saw an apparition of an old man.
Okay.
Well, and now as we talk about, you know, that shot and the concussion that he felt and stuff, when then he mentions the suicide, well, don't we find out that the man who lived there, who died by suicide, died in his bed in one of their rooms. So that would make sense as to why he heard and felt the sound and the you know, reverberation of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was in their bedroom.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was their bedroom or if it was Lacey's bedroom.
Oh, okay. I thought they said it was his. I mean, I've got the transcript. I could take time looking for it, but
it was one of theirs. Actually, I think it was, because isn't he attacking the wife? Isn't he attacking Wendy in there too?
Yep. Yeah. That's what the sketch is.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. That's one of the scarier sketches she's had.
It really is. Okay. So the old man with the peppered hair with the wide nose. I really wish she would have had him sketched.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had such a good description.
Yeah, he did.
Scott did. And then when Amy was talking about the description of what she saw, it sounded exactly like what Scott saw. So I'm really surprised she didn't have that drawn.
I was wondering if it was that or if Scott saw one of the two old men from the couple who the two couples that were there and one of those old men who are trapped there.
Isn't that?
No.
Who? Wait.
So there's the old man who runs around like the kid. That's Lucas. That's the guy who died by suicide. And then there's two elderly couples that are not him.
And they don't ever really touch on who they are.
No, but their mind is gone. And they're the ones that bounce around.
Keeping them there.
Bouncing off the walls.
He's the one holding them there, but he's not one of the couple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then, but she says one of the men in the couple is the one that can disguise himself as a child. And I thought that was the demon. Am I wrong?
No, the demon is a demon.
That's just separate?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, because I don't think...
Oh, I missed that where she said that then.
Yeah, I don't think
reveal.
Because I was going to say, she said earlier on that it was two couples and they're being kept here by the man who disguises himself like the little boy.
Oh. Okay.
But she felt like one couple lived there. But we have, we get no indication who these people are.
No, we don't know who those people are.
And he didn't, you know, both couples were in their 80s and 90s. He never made it to 80. And then, you know, his first wife was only, 47 or something? And then his second wife left him when she was in her early 30s.
Yeah.
No, she left her when she was 38. Because he married her when she was 33.
Okay.
And then she left him 5 years later because that's a disgusting age gap.
It's
gross.
Crazy. It's not like he had money or something.
I know. Like, what was something. The... Maybe he had a third leg. I don't know. Firecracker in the bedroom. And she's like, that's not enough to keep me here. I'm going to leave.
Oh, yeah. Going back to the dad, though, for a minute, when he was talking about after we hear about the two couples at some point, before we talk to any of the kids or Wendy, Scott says, I want to be strong. I don't want them to see me cry. I don't want to see, you know, any of this, and whatever's here is evil and not human, mm-hmm. but I don't want to show my kids that I'm scared. I'm like, understand that, but it's also okay to, it's okay to cry. To it's show okay to emotion. Show emotion.
Right.
And more than just anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
yeah. But I was just like, it's, you can be strong and cry. Like mm-hmm. a lot of us do that on a daily basis.
Yeah. We were just talking
about
being
a millennial, like deal with it.
Yeah. I'm Gen X. We're not allowed to cry.
No. You cry, then you have avocado toast and then you go on with your life. All right. It's fine.
I thought avocado toast was a millennial thing.
I said millennial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I'm a millennial.
I thought you were saying
No.
Okay.
I'm an elder millennial.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. I also want to mention I liked the time when Amy and Matt are walking through and they're looking. And I know, Megan, exactly, I see you put a note in here too. When she's talking about the devil priest guy. And she said the kids sometimes get scared but doesn't know how bad it is. Mm-hmm. And Matt goes, I mean, is this something that could be dangerous for him? And she goes, yeah, it's a demon.
I mean, is this something that could be dangerous for him?
Yes. It's a demon.
Yeah. Like, yep. A doy.
Come on, Matt.
I thought that was funny.
I did appreciate he asks the dumb questions, though.
He does.
I think he must do that, especially when she's not really either one coherent in her, what she's putting out, or she's only being like, well, and, you know, she does that little tap with her fingers on her hand kind of stuff, too. And is, I think he asks some of those, like, well, is it dangerous? Because we need this for the show, Amy. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the same reason Steve asks if it's the dogs. I mean, they have to ask the dumb questions, right? Because there are people watching who are like, but what if it's the dogs? Or what if that demon's not really scary?
Yeah.
Or dangerous, well, and you know?
I think in that whole sequence, too, like when she starts talking about Donovan, well, one of the children being an organically a witch.
Yeah.
And, you know, Matt's like, well, then is he not having experiences then? And she's like, no.
Doesn't
just because
mean
he's protected doesn't mean he's bulletproof.
Yeah. Right. Like, okay. I thought that was interesting. I don't remember where she's ever said in anything in a walk before that somebody's organically a witch.
No. Mm-hmm. And I looked up organic witch and I did find somebody's Facebook page called Organic Witch, but it's just
I would think that would mean that you were like born with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what she meant. I was hoping to find like an official
Definition
other than what Amy said, but it just says that they know how to do things to protect themselves without ever having to learn it from somebody.
They just do it.
That's really cool.
Which explains why he never wants to leave his room.
Right.
Because he's protected it.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let me see where we are. I think that's pretty much. Do we have anything else in the first section before Steve goes into town?
No, other than I wrote down after Lacey, I said, when we hear about the devil thing is beating the child and torturing the fuck out of this person, I just wrote, no, this will break the dad at the reveal.
Yeah.
I have two more things.
Okay.
When Wendy talks about how she saw Donovan have an experience, he came into the kitchen and she said his eyes were black, like his pupils were fully dilated. Mm-hmm. Then he went into his bedroom and started crying and said, make it stop. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was, yeah. And then another three, she said she woke up, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and she woke up to a man screaming in her face, get up, what the fuck are you doing sleeping?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's a lot of threes in this episode.
Yeah.
And three kids.
Three kids.
I mean, if you break down a year and a half is three sets of 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, did anybody else question if Donovan was being jumped with some of the...
literally, yes. Yeah.
Where he like is talking about how he blacks out, then feels hopeless, but then he gets back to his room, and which was then the same thing as Wendy said about like, he's, you know, like... He wasn't there, and now all you know, and he goes back to his room and is crying. Mm-hmm. I was like, is he being jumped?
I think he is being jumped. At least something's trying to jump him.
Yeah, and something's taking over until he gets to his room, and then it's like,
because that's
on the show Ghost. It's like they hit the end of the walkway,
he's protected
and they return
his abilities. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. It's interesting. They never touched on it.
Yeah.
Or I also revealed said, that they touched on it.
I also said, great, another Slytherin thing when we hear about the...
Oh my God, yeah, when she said it was Slytherin on the walls. So gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unleash the power of stories anywhere, anytime with Audible. Immerse yourself in gripping stories, insightful knowledge, and captivating characters anytime, anywhere. Audible is your library on the go. With hundreds of thousands of titles across every genre, there's a world of reading waiting for your ears. Listen while you cook, clean, or commute. Free your eyes to conquer your day, all while feeding your mind. Start your 30-day free trial today and discover the joy of listening. Go to audibletrial.com/TAC. That stands for The Activity Continues. With your free 30-day trial, you get two credits if you're a Prime member, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. You get the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. Again, that is audibletrial.com/TAC. Hey everyone, we want to welcome our new sponsor, Gobble. As you know, life can get pretty hectic. Between work, errands, and family time, who always has the energy to plan, shop for, and cook delicious meals every night? That's where Gobble comes in. It's a meal kit service that takes the stress and guesswork out of dinner.
I used to dread the what's for dinner question every night. Gobble has been a game changer. They deliver fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and easy-to-follow recipe cards right to your door.
Exactly. No more last-minute grocery runs or scrambling for inspiration. Plus, the recipes are incredibly diverse. From healthy options to comfort food classics, there's something for everyone.
And let's not forget that cooking together can be a fun family activity. Gobble's recipes are simple enough to involve everyone in the kitchen, even the little ones.
So if you're looking for a way to make delicious, stress-free meals that the whole family will love, head over to the link in the show notes or on our website to get your first 6 meals for $36.
Gobble.
Make dinner amazing.
So we learn about Robert Lucas, born in 1927. He was 60 years old when he bought the client's house in 1987. And they talk about his wife, which we touched on a little bit already. He married his first wife. Her name was Joyce Cameron in 1952. She died at the age of 45 of throat cancer. And then she died in 1978. And then Steve goes, does he remarry? And I'm like, yeah, that's why he called him her first wife.
Yes.
Yeah. 10 years later, he married his second wife. Her name was Stella. She was 33 years old and he was 60.
Gross. Gross.
Yeah.
Gross, gross, gross.
And then that's when they moved into the client's home. And Steve, so he married a much younger woman. How'd it go? And James Polly says, not so well.
Yeah.
After 5 years of marriage, Stella left him. So that's when when 5 months later, on January 5th, 1993, he goes back to the bedroom, laid down in the bed and shot himself in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Which also might be why or when Scott felt that in his chest, the reverberation, mm-hmm. that could be from that too.
Yep.
Which is a really weird way to kill yourself.
I know. I can't imagine doing that anyway.
Right.
I'm such a chicken, I would chicken out. But I don't...
Your chest?
You, mm-hmm. I mean, people do it. I just...
They do it, yeah, but...
I just don't...
Have either of you watched The Iron Claw?
No.
Yet? So it's a movie about the Von Erichs, the wrestling family. 5 of the 6 boys died before their dad. 3 of them were suicide.
Oh, wow. The
fourth one, they are curious about if it was, but his cause of death was enteritis. But one of them shot himself in the chest on his family's property.
Yeah, I don't think I should. I'm not going to watch that movie.
It's a very... It is very good. If you ever watched wrestling growing up or anything, like we watched it a lot in the 90s and early 2000s and stuff, but it was well done. It tells a story very quickly, and it actually only... combine 2 of the sons together because they didn't want to put a third suicide into the movie.
Oh. Is it a fiction? I mean, not fictional, but is it an acted movie or is it a documentary?
It's acted.
Okay.
Zac Efron plays one of the brothers.
Oh. I've seen pictures of this. Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White plays Carrie.
The bear. Yeah,
Zac Efron plays Kevin, who is the only one who's still alive.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I just want to note one little funny thing that was right around this time when the PI is telling Steve about the man whose wife left him. And he said, well, it looks like the heartache finally got to him. But when the closed captions wrote hard dick, it looks like the hard dick finally got to him.
That's funny.
I'm like, that can't be what he actually said. Or it was not the closed captions, the transcription when I had it done in Word.
I do wish we had gotten a little bit more information about Robert Lucas. We don't know hardly anything. We don't know the type of person that he was, but because in death he sounds like a pretty shitty asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
But we don't know anything about him.
He married a 33-year-old at 60, so that's a 27-year difference.
Okay, but you've got, it Catherine Zeta-Jones and her husband?
Michael Douglas.
That's still gross. Yeah, Michael Douglas. Yeah, but doesn't mean he's an asshole.
Right. Ugh. They seem happy. And she's not as young as she says she is either. But
well, yeah.
Yeah.
Shots fired at Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Well,
you heard it here first, folks.
Not if you were paying attention in the 90s when they got married, because I remember everybody talking about how she's not as young as she is.
Oh, that's been going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been following her for a long time.
That's not new news.
But yeah.
There aren't a whole lot of actresses that are probably very, especially that long ago. Now anybody knows anything. All you have to do is put something on TikTok and five people will come out and say, I went to high school with her in 1952. So, but they did have a picture of this man, this Lucas. So where'd they get that? I mean, did they have did they talk?
Yeah, because that wasn't a photo from like a newspaper clipping.
No, it was like a family photo.
Mm-hmm.
Like a candid. So
maybe the PI did work on him and they gave him that photo, family member, or Stella. Maybe he tracked Stella down.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering why we didn't get any more information on that. Maybe they just decided it wasn't interesting, or maybe they got it all and they cut it. Who knows?
Why was it a PI?
I don't know.
That I didn't understand either, other than he's talked to James Pauly previously.
He's my old buddy.
It was the, hey, thanks for meeting me again.
Yeah.
But
you wouldn't really necessarily talk to local law enforcement because there wasn't really a crime. I mean, they, might not have known a lot.
Maybe there wasn't anybody else to talk to. Like you said, maybe a smaller town. I didn't look up. I looked up the town, but I didn't look at the population.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I did appreciate when we go to the plumber, though. And did you notice that they had to put subtitles on for him?
Because he's all black and nice. He talks like the guy from King of the Hill.
Yes. Oh, my God. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Boomhauer.
Boomhauer. Ding, ding, dong, dong, dong.
That made me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there was more of these, like, let's call in the exterminators, the plumber, and
the
these
pest
kinds
control.
Of things.
Yeah.
In the earlier seasons, but I don't feel like in the last couple seasons I don't think we saw any of that in the last season.
No, I don't think so.
I will say I liked him looking around with his little flashlight.
The way they stage things. I love it.
I literally wrote, this is so staged.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to turn on the pipes and look with my flashlight.
Well, and at the end, it's like, so is it the pipes? No.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah. Nothing you saw could explain the noises. No, sir. All right. Well, appreciate your work. Bye.
Yeah. And then
appreciate your hard work. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks, Landon.
That's when we hear about, the creepy kid trapping the old couples and their minds are gone. And so they just run into the walls. And Amy's like, I don't like him. And she kind of trails off. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
It's not good. Yeah. I actually highlighted that too.
Nah. We go to Steve with the magnifying glass and the light.
With the Inspector Gadget theme playing in the background.
Yes. Okay, wait a minute. Rewind. So James Pauly, he doesn't know him. He knows the other guy who talks about the triple murder.
You're right.
Okay.
It's James Casto who is Steve's buddy.
He knows
and we have no idea what kind of expert he is.
Right. He's just there because he's a buddy.
Yep. He's his buddy. Yep. And this is when we learn about Henry P-F-O-S-T.
Which reminded me of the Golden Girls episode with Mr. Pfeiffer. And he's the funeral home director. And they're going to do burial for somebody. And then Sophia goes, Mr. Pfeiffer, how'd you like to get punched in your p-face?
So question with this one. Did we know who Henry Fogel was earlier in the episode? Because it, I feel like
Post.
It was Post. Oh, it sounded like Post, they kept putting a G in
it. Was
P
F O S T, but it's they pronounced it like Faust. Faust. Okay. Faust or Faust.
Which
or
is where the Pfeiffer came from.
Yeah.
Did they talk about him at some point? Because it all of a sudden they're like, yeah, so Henry's mom. And I'm like, who's Henry?
They just said one of the victims of this homicide was the mother of Henry Faust. And that's when James Castle was like, well, Henry's mother, Chloe, adopted John Morgan. They didn't really like lead into him.
So
but it was like just out of the blue.
Yeah, Steve, we kind of learn that he owned the house that they live in. And so then it makes me wonder, is Henry and his wife one of these couples that's being kept?
Henry didn't live there. John Morgan, the guy who killed him, ended up living there.
No,
he moved out and moved into the house.
No, I thought the house was owned by Henry, and that's why Henry was brought in here.
Because
we have brought Henry in?
Henry's mother was one of the victims. This is what Steve says in the as the scene is starting. Searching through old records, I come across another former property owner named Henry Faust. Turns out Henry's mother was one of the victims of a brutal triple homicide near Scott and Wendy's house. Not in Scott and Wendy's house, near.
Yeah.
I'm headed out to meet my old buddy, James Castle, who looked into this case for me.
But Henry owned the property. So it was like Chloe had a house and then Henry had a house. So Henry was older than John Morgan, who we will talk about shortly.
Because he was one of the original children of Chloe.
Yes.
Yes. And and yes, Henry was one of the
Chloe is Henry's mother.
I just had a really weird moment.
What?
I thought maybe one of my dogs was behind me because I felt a nose and whiskers on the back of my knee.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody back there?
On the back of my left knee. Wesley had just been over here, but he's not here right now. So that was, that was just really in the moment.
Weird.
It's interesting that when they talk about Henry's mother, Chloe, and her other children, James, Matilda, and Alice, they don't mention Henry in that.
I'm guessing because he was out of the house.
But it does say she treated him as if he were aunt, blah, blah, blah. And her other children, James, Matilda, and Alice, I think when he he means other than Henry, not than
you're right.
John Morgan.
I feel like Henry was older and already out of the house. Maybe Henry was 18 by the time that John Morgan was adopted, kind of
that
thing.
Could be. Yeah.
That was what I got.
So this is 1891, just to fill this in a little bit.
Great
1891, Henry's mother, Chloe, adopted the 16-year-old orphan boy by the name of John Morgan, and they treated him like one of their own. They were great. He lived there for 6 years. He got married. He moved out. And then he still was a frequent visitor of the home. Chloe, the mom, had sold a valuable horse for a tidy sum of money.
Mm-hmm. And which they don't disclose how much.
No, it was probably $1.98, but it was a lot of money back then. And so
tax, so they rounded up to $2.
Yeah.
No, you know why you have it as a 99 or 98 or 97, why they started doing that? Mm-hmm. So that you had to open the till so people couldn't just pocket the money.
Oh.
So that's why you'll have things that are $4.99. They hardly ever, especially in that time, would have had an even number of something when you had to do a transaction for a bill, because otherwise people could just pocket it and just say, I don't know what happened to the inventory.
I always thought it was just because it made it sound like it was cheaper, like a dollar something. Mm-hmm. It sounds cheaper than $2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That does. But it was because they had to. Yeah, I learned that. I don't remember how long ago, but because they had to be able to open the tills.
Okay.
Interesting.
To document.
Cool. Well, anyway. So
she sold this horse for a tidy sum of money.
That's right. And then Henry Morgan decided he wanted that money. John Morgan. Sorry. Get all their names. But John James. Henry.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
That's right. His name is my name, too. I like the hoedown dance. Okay, so I'm not going to go into the details of this, but anyway, he came to the house and tried to rob them and ended up killing
everybody.
Almost all of them.
He thought he killed everybody. The only person who survived was Alex.
Yep. Alice.
Killed Alice. Not Alice. Alex. There's no Alex.
She was gravely injured.
He killed James, killed Matilda, and killed Chloe.
It says gravely injured Alice. It doesn't gravely mean...
Yeah, dead. I would have thought, but she must have survived long enough, at least for them to, for her to identify who attacked.
And well, then she and maybe the reveal, died after he that. Talks about how she survived. Yep. So she must, to me, gravely just means seriously. It's not fatally.
But gravely it usually means fatal.
It's a grave. I mean, I think that's what that's supposed to mean. I think they just used the wrong word when they described it. Yep.
Anyway,
rest of them were all killed, including Chloe, the mother.
Close relation to it's the, you know, if you think of the Basilica Axe House murders, that's
it just says to a degree that gives cause for alarm. He fell gravely ill.
I think it's a bit more than that.
Huh.
That's from Oxford.
Well, Oxford's wrong. I'm kidding.
They could be. We don't know.
Yeah. Amy does hear a woman screaming and she hears a man say, shut up, bitch.
Ooh.
And then I want to read this. Skip ahead 10 seconds if you don't want to hear this.
She heard
a nasty cracking like a mushy wet sound. And then he stops. So he killed her. That's what Amy said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Morgan was caught. I don't know why they did so much about, oh, they caught him and they put him on trial and there was guilty.
They were just talking about why they expedited the trial because they were afraid of mob mentality and mob justice. Right.
Well, and it does kind of fit in, though. I guess I can see why they left it, because they talked about how he was executed hanging style in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people back then.
You know, but those kinds of things were seen almost like fairs gatherings.
Yeah,
where you came they in, parade people around. Came in from out of town.
But I thought that was more like older, like 1700s.
Oh no, honey. Mm-mm. Around here in the 1800s, that was very common. They tried to hang an elephant in one state. I can't remember what it was you can find that one. And it was a...
I'd rather not find it.
Mm-mm. But the reason I think they made this connection is that Amy did feel like she was in a crowd of people. It's pitch black. She feels bodies up against her. There's a crowd, a bunch of people. And she says, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And I'm hearing men and women screaming. There's panic and chaos. It's pitch black. And then it feels like I'm falling. I'm falling in the darkness. So she must have been in his body.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
And then when she says like what bodies up against her, that makes me think of when they like walk them through the town and walk them right next to everybody. Oh, well, it's so barbaric.
You know, this was another one of let's use feet to describe how far something is. 1700,
I thought of that too.
1700 feet is about a third of a mile.
Okay.
So they try to use feet to, again, give.
To make it sound like it's closer.
To make it sound more. Yeah.
So that's on the bingo cards.
Yeah. This would be if you have a normal block in the suburbs or something, this is going to be a couple of blocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's pretty much the end of that segment. The sketch is the last thing that they do there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the reveal. If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They're also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That was the best one yet.
Skip the shopping struggle. Get curated outfits picked by stylists who know your taste.
We recently tried Wantable, and I love everything about them. They sent me a box full of stuff, and I think I kept 3 of the items and returned the rest. However, I noticed after I had sealed the bag and scheduled the pickup that I had forgotten to return an item and was so worried that I would be charged for it. I reached out to Wantable, and immediately they sent me a different return label to package up the item that I had forgotten to send. Not only is their stuff top tier, high quality, adorably cute garments, but their customer service is top notch. I 100% will continue using them. I've already purchased and received my second box, and I look forward to many boxes from them.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/wantable. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style.
The reveal.
I was actually kind of thinking that Donovan could potentially end up at this one, so I was a little surprised that it was only Scott and Wendy, but
yeah, maybe because he's so young. But yeah, I mean, they've had kids before, so it's not out of the question. Maybe the parents just didn't want to.
That would be my guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I will say again, throughout the whole reveal, like, Scott's very, you can see it on his face what he's thinking, and Wendy's very, like, has a screen painted across, but you can kind of see the color drain out of her face a couple of times. But it was hard to tell, like, are they just using the same shot over and over again?
Well, they may be.
The population of Ripley, West Virginia was 3,074 at the 2020 census. So very small town.
Yeah, that's pretty small.
That's not very small. I lived in a town of 300.
It's pretty small.
It's small.
Can't imagine. 300.
Yeah.
Smaller than my graduating class.
Mine too.
Okay. So I think the only note I had was that when they showed the picture of Chloe, the mother, Amy gasped.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
She was like,
I was like, so she recognizes that.
Yep. That's the one she saw. Yes, that's what I saw.
Yep. I like when they were talking about Donovan and, you know, Wendy's telling her story about the dilated eyes, blah, blah, blah. And Wendy says something like, it's weird to think about that with my child. And Amy goes, well, it runs in your family.
Yes.
And we just kind of leave it there. There is no further explanation that they show. And it's like, it seemed like it was a big revelation for Wendy, because that was actually a time where you see a little bit of like the
facial
change. A
little bit of emotion.
And then they just kind of move on.
Well, they did touch on it a little bit later where she did say that, you know, Wendy is a physical medium, but
but not at that time. It was just like, it was a weird cutaway of,
which they probably talked about it, but I just thought that was weird. Even my notes, I said, okay, so we're not talking about this again or like what?
Mm-hmm.
And I, for me, it was like, I thought, to me, it looked like the mom was like, she knew, she just didn't want to. She didn't want anyone else to know, and she didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so she was like, oh, fuck, when Amy said that.
Want to go with, I feel quite vindicated when Amy talked about psychic vampires, because I'm pretty sure I got ridiculed for calling any vampire, any person who leeches energy, a vampire.
What? You called him an energy vampire. And then we were like, no, there's a difference between an energy vampire and a blood vampire.
But they all take energy.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going with, I feel a little vindicated here.
Okay.
We didn't say you were wrong.
No.
Well, you kind of indicated it.
I remember that conversation. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. I don't have a dog in the fight, so I'm not going to say anything.
Your blood carries your energy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you don't have blood, you don't have energy.
Correct.
Amy did mention that the elderly man who committed suicide was, she said he was very elderly and he was only 60.
But
he was closer to 70.
Oh, was he? I thought he was 60.
Yeah, because he bought the house in 87.
He was born in 1927.
Oh, I wasn't doing math. I was just going by what they said.
Yeah, math.
I thought that too, but then after I thought about it more, I was like, he bought it when he was 60, and then 6 years later, he
Okay. Well, then she was spot on, as usual.
Yeah.
I should never have doubted.
You should never doubt her.
No. Yeah, it bugged me. It really bugged me. I know I brought this up in the overview too, but that when Amy would talk about something and Steve would be like, well, it's not a lot to go on. And he did that twice. And I'm like, she fucking spelled it out for you. What do you mean there's nothing to go on?
My favorite put this though together. Is every time he's like, well, you know, that reminds me of. And I'm like, because you just looked at this 2 days ago. Like,
well, it's not much to go on. You just gave me a name, his age, a year he died, method of death.
Where he's located.
Where I mean, he's located. But I don't
totally
know.
Totally matches. Something I have, but that's not much to go on.
This now, do you feels... think this could be it?
If we draw a Venn diagram, do we get close enough?
Oh, Steve.
Yep, I did say the sketch when they show it. I do remember the sketch. I don't really remember the episode from when I first watched it, but I remember the sketch.
It was terrifying.
Yes, I said creepy as shit, and Wendy has... definitely has that front. She's used to having to have a poker face of some sort for some reason. And she has set that into stone of like, and she cracks.
Yeah. That was a really scary sketch.
It was.
Especially when Amy then goes, yeah, you're a sensitive and could die.
Yeah. Like you could have a heart attack.
Yeah. Sudden death.
Yeah. Sudden death.
My concern now is that Wendy would die.
And Wendy was, you know, she was like, I was concerned about my family. How many times have we seen this recently? Yeah. I was concerned about everybody else, but now you're saying I should be the one that's concerned.
Yeah.
Because we saw that with Krista.
With Krista, I was going to say, we just saw that. So let's see. So then Amy gives her, you know, what they need to do. They need to have a Catholic priest come in. And when they're not home.
Yeah.
Yes. Do a home blessing.
Which makes me wonder what could, I mean, maybe I'm just being like
attachments.
Oh, I was thinking, I was picturing like swirling things and candles flying through the air.
Pictures all over.
Okay. You two have watched too many movies. And Megan doesn't even watch those movies.
No, I do.
I don't watch those movies.
I don't like them.
So
I don't watch them that much anymore because they really do freak me out. But
oh, there's some good ones that recently came out that I need to go watch.
Thank you.
Abigail. Yeah. And
I have not seen Abigail.
I haven't seen it yet either.
I have not seen Abigail. The Exorcism of Emily Rose, is that the one with the...
No, thank you.
The girl from... Well, she was a girl at the time. From Dexter. She played Dexter's sister. Carpenter, I want to say her last name is Jennifer Carpenter. Anyway, that movie, terrifying.
The previews alone scared the shit out of me. I couldn't watch them. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's really scary. And the thing that about those kind of movies that freaks me out is that so often you hear about stuff that happened on set or things that like where it's a little too.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it Psycho that was kind of the cursed one?
Was it? I know there was some
There was another one too, but
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist was a big one.
It's close.
Poltergeist was a big one. Like everybody that was in that movie is dead now.
I mean, that's just playing with fire, you're inviting stuff in, and
the priest exorcism was exorcist was pretty good. I mean, it's terrible, but it's funny.
Was it Pope? Pope's exorcist.
Yeah, Pope's exorcist.
Yeah. I saw that
with Russell Crowe.
Oh, I saw that roll up in my carousel or whatever on whatever streaming thing it's on. And I was like, I don't think I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want to do that. I'll watch documentaries about it, which is weird because that's closer to being truth than Hollywood fiction. But for some reason, the Hollywood fiction stuff creeps me out.
I don't like any of it.
I don't really like
documentaries
it.
About
I'll
it. I watched the Amityville Horror. I didn't sleep for a week. The new one with Ryan Reynolds, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Scared the shit out of me.
You should watch the documentary, is the son talking about how all of it's bullshit. So,
you know, I've wondered that because nobody else who's lived in that home has had issues like that.
Their dad was mentally ill and made up most of it. Anyways. I'm not saying there was nothing in the house because there was something that was getting in his brain, but that could have been not paranormal related. But
I'll just stick to my Disney movies. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Back to the demon. But yeah, a Catholic priest coming in. I got it more that they needed to be out of there so that it didn't try to attach to one of them because they weren't, they didn't have boundaries and ways to be protected from it.
It seems like everybody is sensitive in that family.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then if they get the Catholic priest, then they do, it does the blessing, then needs to leave the crosses in every room. It'll get the demon out and prevent others.
And blessed crosses too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I said that.
Well, I hope that they eventually got help because they didn't as of the hearing.
They were still looking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this was before Spirit Mechanics was connected to Amy and she just didn't have anyone to call.
Yeah.
I don't remember when they said they started working with Amy, but
I don't remember either.
I would be curious to know if they just, you know, couldn't do it. When did this, was this 2017?
Yeah, September 9th, 2017.
2017, okay. Yeah.
It might have been before they were working.
Yeah, I was kind of sad to see that it was still kind of pending.
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody knows this family and knows if they got any help or if they would like to talk to us, we would love to talk to them.
Well, thanks everybody.
Yep. Thanks for joining us. And next week we will be discussing, we're back to season 9 again. We're gonna beat that dead horse.
Yeah. Yep.
Season 9, episode 11, Devil's Triangle. Now this was AP's pick.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another business. Yes. So the quickie little synopsis from Travel Channel is Steve and Amy travel to Pittsburgh to investigate paranormal activity at a tattoo parlor where the artists and customers fear for their safety. On her late night walk, Amy encounters a group of malicious demons who are set on collecting souls.
Is there any other kind of demon other than malicious?
No. I don't think so.
I just wanted to note, isn't it funny you can tell that somebody's writing these differently? Because the one I read at the beginning of this had Steve DeShavi and Amy Allen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this one just says Steve and Amy.
Yeah. We're like best buds, so we don't need their last names.
Just their travel.
We text.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
The synopsis that you read this earlier for this episode that we just covered, that I found three different synopses. And so I just merged them all into one.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a lot of
synopsis. But one of them did say, I grabbed one and then just spliced some other things in there, did say Amy Allen and Steve DeShavi.
That's funny.
So remember, friends, let us know what your favorite episode is. And if we haven't already covered it, we will.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't have some things in it that we don't want to do.
Which is mostly just child death for
just
me.
Just child stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else is fair game.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about demons and exorcism and all that.
I just don't want to watch a movie about it.
No, that's fine. And also, we are still looking for listener stories. So send us your spooky stories.
I've been talking
with people at work lately, and they're like, I have stories or so-and-so. And I was like, if they write them down, I'll read them. Or if they want to, you know, like record it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. They could just talk it right into their phone or like WhatsApp message or whatever. Yeah. All right. Well, Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please reach out if you have a spooky story you'd like us to share on the show. We can be reached at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com or through our website or any of our socials. Links are all in the description of the show. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues. The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. We are also proud members of the Boo Pod Network of Super Cool Podcasts.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.